Five Stones Church thanks you for listening to this message from Pastor Ryan Smith. For more information, events, and the latest news, consider connecting with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Together, we can awaken a generation.
Right into it. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for the opportunity to gather in your house. God, we thank you for the ability to come in to a gathering place and not have to be fearful and not have to worry about our lives being taken while we're in here just worshiping and fellowshipping. God, I just ask that right now, as the surgeon prepares, as the surgeon prepares to operate on Tim, God, that you give him a wisdom past what all medical books could say, past what all doctors' beliefs are. God, do the impossible. We believe it. We've seen the man and the family struggle and fight for so long. But God, we believe right now that you're going to put a peace amongst Tim and the rest of the Brummett family. God, I ask right now that you just touch him. God, I know he's nervous. God, I just ask that you calm the nerves. God, that he knows and he rests knowing that you're going to take care of this. God, that you're going to do it. You're going to use the doctor. You're going to be the vessel. The doctor's going to be the vessel that you move through, God. And we just ask that right now you touch that. God, I also ask that you bless this service tonight. God, that you just move providentially through this place. God, I believe that you gave me a word. God, I believe that you gave me a word that will touch at least one person in this room. That'll set them free. That'll break them out of bondage in their mind. God, let me be the vessel and use me tonight. In your name we pray. Amen. So I'm going to go ahead and let you guys get to the scripture here tonight. We're going to go to 2 Corinthians 12. And while you're going there, I just kind of want to share with you what happened to me in preparation for this. Because Pastor met with me 3 or 4 weeks ago when he found out that he was flying out to Colorado and said, "Hey, do you want to preach?" And I said, "Absolutely." So usually when that happens, you're like, you start thinking about it. At least for me, I start to think, okay, God, what do you want to share? What do you have? I don't want to focus on me so much. And I've just been praying over the past few weeks. And I don't know if you're here Sunday, but God moved mightily Sunday. And Pastor actually asked me to come out and share. And the word that I shared Sunday was where I thought I was going to be preaching tonight. And that was talking about just disbelief and doubt in your mind. And then when Pastor asked me to share, I was like, "Hey, I think that's wrapped up and that's done." And I was like, "Okay, God, well, what do you want me to do now? I have a couple days of preparation, and I want to give it all I can." And I don't know about you, but I feel like oftentimes as Christians, we find ourselves in a quiet place. In a place where we're not hearing, where we're kind of somewhat of a holding pattern and not too sure what's going on. And I feel like the church hasn't done an adequate job of teaching us what's going on in these moments. Because I know for me, I've had times where I've pushed through and I've sought God for a long time, for days, for months. And I still feel like there's a disconnect. And I felt like God wasn't there. And it's very easy to get hijacked in your mind and not know what's going on. I mean, you're sitting here and we have a fantastic church that operates in the miraculous, where we can come Sunday, Wednesday, days in the middle of the week, and we can see miracles. We can see people healed, set free. We see drug addicts give up their drugs and turn their lives towards the things of God. And it's so awesome because in those moments, you can't deny feeling the presence. You know you can feel it right when you walk through the door, regardless how spiritual you are or how spiritual you think you aren't. You can still feel God moving. You can see that. And I feel like what happens so many times is we get so addicted to that, we don't know what to do when we're outside of the church. Because, I mean, it's powerful being in this room right here and being with a group of believers who are chasing after the same thing. It's a whole lot easier that way because you're not warring by yourself. And God just began to develop and unpack into my spirit, because I've struggled with it so long, just wondering, God, you give me a calling and then I don't hear your voice. You tell me to do this and then I don't hear your voice. Like, hey, I need a little help. I need some guidance. I don't know what's going on. And I feel like that's where a lot of us are in this room. And if not, then I don't even need to be up here tonight. But I when I was praying on the way here tonight, God said, there's at least one. And that's why I keep saying that, because just one person, if you can get a hold of this, I believe it'll change your entire life. So, like I said, we're going to 2 Corinthians. We're going to start in verse 7. I've read this passage of Scripture and pondered on it a little bit in the past, just looking over it. We hear a lot of it talking about the thorn in the flesh. And we hear it used in other areas outside of this passage. We hear people, oh, well, he's a thorn in my flesh, or this is going on in my life, it's a thorn in my flesh. And that's what I always kind of thought about it. But I kind of want to show you something that God revealed to me that hits right where we are when God stops speaking. So a little backstory here. Paul is the writer of this in Corinthians, and he's preaching to the church in Corinth. And he's talking about when we see it a lot in the Pentecostal movement. We see a lot of people who have great giftings. They're prophetic. They move in the miraculous. You see miracles come out of their ministry. And Paul was talking about this in this time, about how there were people who were filled with the Holy Spirit and moving in this way, but they became boastful. It was kind of like this is me, I got this. Come to church tonight, you're going to get to see something. And Paul was talking about this, and I never really put it together until I think it was Monday night when I started reading this. So we're starting in verse 7, it says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelation, a thorn in my flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure." So this is I want to clear this up, what Paul was saying here. He's talking, I mean, we've seen Paul wrote almost all of the New Testament. So he was a very gifted spiritual man, but he began to talk about this thorn that came. And I don't think we really talk much about what the thorn is. And the thorn can be applied to whatever's going on in your life. But I feel like specifically for tonight, focus on that thorn as that quiet place. Now, I'm not talking about the quiet place where you go to and you pray and you ask God to help you. I'm talking about the quiet place where you're not hearing from God. Where you push, you pray, you read the Bible, you fast, and you still don't see anything. You don't see any change. You don't feel any change. That's what we're talking about tonight. So I want us to focus. Anytime I say the word thorn, I want you to think about the quiet place in your life. Because if you're not going through it now, as a Christian, I will tell you it will happen at some point. Because if it happens to Paul, it's going to happen to all of us. I can guarantee you that. So we're going to pick up in verse 8. "Concerning this thing," which the thing was that thorn, "concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And God said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities than the power of Christ that may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, I'm strong.'" So we hear that too. For when I'm weak, I'm made strong. I don't know about you, but when you're going through a quiet place, it often feels like you're very weak. And it feels like a bad thing. It really does. I know for me. But I'm here to tell you tonight, the quiet place is not bad. And you're going to say, whoa, Logan, what are you talking about? I'm not hearing from God. Something's not right. And I've been there. I've felt the struggle of saying, God, here I am. I'm giving everything. What's going on? And that's when Satan sneaks in and says, oh, you're living in sin. God doesn't love you. He doesn't want to talk to you. Because we know that's what Satan does. His tactics don't change regardless what season we're going through. That's what it is. So I want us to get in our head before we go any further with this message tonight that the quiet place is not bad. When God pulls away from us, it's not bad. I don't know about you, but I've prayed many times in my quiet place, God, take this. I can't do this, God. I can't do without you. Because we get so used to being in this environment and having the Spirit move so much when we're on our own and we don't hear God, we're out there all alone. So tonight we're going to talk about why this happens, why we fall into these quiet places, and basically what to do to get through them. We're not going to talk about how to ward off and fight your quiet place. That's not what tonight's about. I'm going to teach you tonight how to coast through it and learn through it and not just try to get by as quick as you can, because there's a lot to be learned in this. So God just began to unpack to me three reasons why we end up here. And it's not the, oh, I'm in sin, that I'm struggling, I'm not following God, I'm not obeying God. The first one, and it's clear in Scripture, God puts us here so we don't become boastful and just expect things from God. I've been there. It's so easy to get there when you're seeing miracles and watching people get saved and set free. And a lot of times it doesn't start as a negative thing. It doesn't start as a, oh, I'm here, look at me. It starts with a, you're excited about what God's doing in your life. And it's awesome, but a lot of times it goes to people's heads, and then we start to say, oh, well, look at me, this is what I'm doing, this is what's going on. And that's what Paul was saying. Paul didn't want to get to that point, and God doesn't want us to get to that point. So a lot of times he pulls himself away from us to say, hey, slow down a little bit. You're going a little bit too quick, going a little too far ahead of me. I've got some things that I want to work out in you. Don't just expect it to happen just because you say it's going to happen. And God told me that, and I was like, oh, conviction instantly. Because we get so used to just always feeling his presence. And this took me a long time to realize what exactly is going on. The next thing, and this one was tough for me, God puts us in these moments to see if we're strong enough to carry it out. To carry it out when we don't hear his voice. And I'll, full disclosure, I've been in quiet places with God where I was like, I pushed for a week, still not hearing his voice, so I backslide. Why am I going to read my Bible if I'm not hearing from you? I'm just reading, I'm going to sleep, I'm not retaining anything, I'm praying, I'm just saying words. I might as well just listen to the radio on the way to work and not dig in anymore because you're not moving. I'll come to church. I'll used to worship because God would move. Now I'm just going to stand over here and sit in the back. We've been there. I've been there. I feel like as a church we've been there. And this can be for anything for us as the church to grow forward and to get better. The last thing God said to me specifically is the reason we end up here is to keep us from becoming content. Now, what being content means is you're here. This is as good as it's ever going to get. This is as good as my life is ever going to be. This is as good as my ministry is going to be. This is as good as my calling is going to be. When we get there, we're pretty much useless, to be honest. And I know that's harsh, but when we plateau spiritually, we can't go forward anymore. We stop helping people. We stop trying to go to a next level and serve more and get out in the community. And every time we're out and about trying to find an opportunity to share the love of Christ with someone, that's why God pulls away. He pulls away for our strength, not for us to be tortured or for us to be tormented. It's how you respond to the quietness as to where you're really going to go. And that's tough, because a lot of times there's sermons that we can hear that are some things where we can be prayed for and it'll be set free off of our life. Unfortunately, this isn't one of those things. Because if you're trying to pray this off your life, you're trying to pray God off your life. And I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that at all. And that's why I feel like it's important for us to understand what that means. And understand that it's not a negative thing. And I want to share real quick before we go into dealing with this, just some time in my life where I've been there, so you can relate to it and understand kind of how God transitioned me through it, so you can start to learn that and understand that. So a lot of you know my background. I've shared it a lot every time I'm up here, because a lot of you know me face level at church, pastor's son, play the drums, and that's about it. And a lot of you've heard my testimonies, you've heard what I've gone through in my life. That's not really what tonight's about. I want to share a little bit more as my quiet place. So the past, I guess it's year and a half, I've really begun to push more in my calling and try to grow deeper, because for a long time I ran from what God had planned for me. I ran from my calling, ran from what God wanted to do in my life. He told me I was to preach, and I said, no, I'm not. And he said, yes, you are. And I said, no, I'm not. He said, no, I'm serious. You're going to preach. And I said, nope, that's not me. I'm shy. I'm fine behind the drums. I can worship right there. That's good. I'll still serve you with all my heart. He said, no, this is really what you're going to do. So I made some life transitions and began to focus more efforts on this when I got over my stubbornness and said, all right, God, I've known this for a while. I'm going to be honest with you. So I began to do Vanguard. I started with a Bible college and doing that, and it's been so great, so powerful in my life. But there's times in this where I know I've talked with a lot of the guys from Sycamore Network too, where we're preparing, we're trying to grow in our craft, we're trying to develop our speaking skills, our ability to communicate with people, our ability to take this, extract things, and put it into people's lives. And it's great at times. But then there's other times where you're trying to figure it out, and your biggest coach, which is God, is not there. And that is so hard. And that's where I've been for a while. Because God's like, hey, this is what you're going to do. And I feel like a lot of times, because we get a little greedy with God, we say, hey, we're Christians. This is supposed to be easy. You gave me this calling. Here, I'm going to do it. So give me what I need. That's where I was. And I feel like that's where the church as a whole, I'm not saying Five Stones, but the church as a whole comes in and says, hey, this is where I'm at. Let me receive. And there's not really much push anymore. So that's where I've been. And I've been struggling and saying, God, I'm still serving you, but why am I not hearing from you? And that's when he opened this up. And if you take notes, these might be important for you to keep. Like I said, if you're struggling with this quiet place now or not, it will come at some point. Because in our spiritual walk, we have times of low places, we have times of acceleration, we have times of plateaus. A lot of times you'll find this quiet place in our times of plateau to prepare us for the next peak we're going to. So if you take notes, I want us to write these down and store them. The first way to really understand where we're at is to welcome the thorn. And I don't know about you, but I remember when I was little picking roses with my mom. And when you get one of those thorns, it hurts. It hurts tremendously. So what do we do naturally? Next time we see a rose bush, we want to step away. We want to avoid it at all cost. So to say, welcome the thorn, is completely alternative of what we think. And I think Paul had to figure this out too, because he said that for three times he prayed and asked God to take this away. Now, it never mentioned exactly what the thorn was in Paul's flesh, but I feel like during this time it was that quiet place. That's what God showed me through it, is that was his quiet, where he's not hearing. So we have to welcome that, and I know that's so hard because we don't want to deal with the pain. We unfortunately, as Christians, have been fed so much that it's easy when you accept Christ. And it's easy to walk this out, when actually it's a whole lot easier to live in sin. It really is. It's a whole lot easier to not care, to get up and just do whatever. Because, I mean, there may be pains along the way, but just drink it away. Use drugs to get it away. Now, when we're actually at a spiritual warfare, that's a whole new level. That's a whole new level. So welcoming it can become very hard. And I heard, I don't know if you know, Pastor Stephen Furtick was talking about this years ago. And he said that, and I was like, man, that's crazy to think of welcoming a time where you're not close to God. But that's where we have to get our attitude right. And realize, this is the second point, realize that this dark place is in our life for spiritual growth. It's not here because we're bad. And I feel like that someone needs to grab a hold of that and really, really pick up on that. You're not feeling distant from God so much because you're living in sin. If you are, then yes, you know that. But when you're literally trying every single day to go after the things of God and you're still pushing, that quiet place is not bad. It's the time of growth. It says that Jesus said right there, God said in verse 9, my grace is sufficient to you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. When you can really say, okay, God, I'm here in this place that's quiet because I don't have it all together. Because I'm not ready to lead a church. That was me. It's like, hey, God, you gave me all these specific words into my life. Okay, so send me out. And he said, whoa, hold it. You're not ready. And that's tough, because we want, hey, God, we have a passion for it. God gave me this word. I'm going to do it. But a lot of times there's a lot of preparation. Does 40 years sound familiar? Yeah, I don't know about you, but I haven't had to wait 40 years for anything yet. But I know that this is a very important time. So the second point. I don't know. Just write it down however. I don't have it really numbered out. So just write however you want to. This is the hard part when dealing with this, is allowing this time to humble you. Allowing it to truly humble you. I mean, down and dirty, where it gets to all your goodies. All the things that you're struggling with. All the things that you haven't told anybody about. It really has to come to a place where you can say, because it's going to come and go in times where you begin to feel that you know, oh, God's trying to do something here. God's trying to change something in my life. There's something that may be an attitude. It may be something that he's trying to grow you in, a spiritual growth. And so many times we try to push it away. But God wants this to be a time where we seek even more than we ever have and begin to humble. Because James 4:10 says, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. And that's where we're at. That's where we're at in this quiet time, this time that's kind of somber, and we're not hearing, we're not seeing, we're not feeling. The next point is welcoming the silence. I know I said that a minute ago, but we welcome the thorn. Now we gotta welcome that silence, because we have to know where the pain comes from, and to feel the pain of quietness, there's nothing wrong with that. I know for me, if I was locked in a room for several days and had no human interaction, that would be tough. That would be very tough. And I feel like we're just so locked in. We're so locked in our mind, and we can't break out. And we can't figure out what we're doing, where we're going. Because, I mean, we're not having our guide there. And God showed me this, because this was tough for me in dealing with this, what we do in these moments. Because first we have to realize, like I said, we have to realize what's going on. We have to realize where we're at spiritually. We're not at enmity with God. We're not falling away. We're not going to hell. We're not living in sin. Once we get the mental out of that, we have to start warring. We've been learning. Pastor's been doing a fantastic job on Wednesday nights helping us with spiritual warfare. That's exactly what this is. And I had no plan to really tie my message into his. He said, hey, just do what you have, whatever God gives you. And I didn't plan on tying it together. But if we take what we've been learning and we take where God's been pushing us in these past few weeks and start to focus that this is a time of spiritual warfare. Now, it's not like a time where we're fighting against the adversaries of Satan. Yes, that comes in our mind when we think that, hey, God's pulling away because he hates me, he doesn't love me. Yes, we have that, but there's a new level of spiritual warfare here that we don't really focus on much, because we always focus on, hey, we got to kick the devil in the tooth. That's what we're doing. That's where we're at. That's how we got to get through spiritual warfare. This is a spiritual warfare pretty much against ourselves, against our own mind, against what's going on there. And I don't know about you, but in those quiet places, that's the hardest time for me to dig deep in my word, to dig deep in a prayer life, to dig deep in worship, to come here and actually say, God, I'm here for you. It becomes routine. And God started to show me that, hey, the things that you're trying to pull away from are the things you need to run to even more in this time. And I said, well, God, it's so hard to pray when I don't hear your voice. I don't know about you, but I've been there so many times. PJ's been there. I've been there so many times where you pray and you don't feel anything. And that's so hard, because We're used to that. We're used to praying and getting an instant feeling. And I don't know about you, but that should say something. When we're so used to praying and having an instant turnaround, that just kind of shows that we're entitled. We're entitled to what God's going to do. I'm not saying he's not going to do it. God is faithful and he will get it done. But it's not always our timing. So when Laura, she's saying it may look like a challenge, it may look like a fight, but the three, four main things that God wants us to do are the things we don't want to do. The things that are just an absolute nightmare. An absolute nightmare to do. Yeah, exactly. And I want you guys to gravitate towards that and write that down. That in these times where God's not moving, we're not feeling, we're not seeing, that's the time where we have to make the time and push first off to get in that word. We hear it. We're in church. We know what a Bible is. We understand that. But it's a whole lot easier to say, oh, I read my Bible, and than it is to actually sit down and say, okay, God, I know that this is going to not be the easiest thing to do right now, and I may not get this mega word out of this, but I can't tell you how many times I've read something in a dry, quiet season, felt nothing, and then several months later, God says, hey, do you remember when you read that? And I go back, and I'm like, oh, okay. Okay, that's what you were doing. You're preparing me for what's next. The next thing is to get in a new level of prayer when you're not feeling it. I've had a lot of my prayer time is in my mornings on the commute to work. And I've had a lot of times where I'm like, God, you're not here. I'm tired. I'm just trying to get to work. I'm not worried about this. I'm just going to do my thing. Lord, thank you and praise you for the day. You're awesome. Great. Amen. And that's it. That's it. I know we've been there. Let's be honest tonight. It's Wednesday night. There's not a lot of people here. We can be honest. That's where I've been a lot of times. Because it's easy just to say, okay, God. And then those prayers that were long and really intense, just honoring God, start to go shorter and shorter and shorter. And then there's nothing. And you have to be very, very careful in this time of quietness, because Satan's going to be moving the whole time through it. Absolutely. He's going to be moving. And this is, I've seen so many people, even myself, this is the easiest time to backslide as a Christian. It's the easiest time. It would be like you're a young 7-year-old kid and both your parents are gone. That's what it's like, because you don't have that provider really helping you. And you have to step up and do it on your own. And that's not easy when we have the God that created this all. So we have to make sure we're in our word, that we're praying outside of our norm. Continue, because I can promise you, if you push through with all you have when you get to the end, you're going to be stronger in your prayer life. You're going to be stronger in your Bible time. You're going to know things biblically that you never knew. You're going to pray with an authority that you never thought you would have. Like we said on Sunday, you're going to begin to believe again. The other one is our worship. Our worship, I think, is one of the most attacked things during this. Because Satan knows if he can inhibit our worship, we're not giving glory to God. We're not doing what we were put on this earth to do. And that's when we have to straighten up a little bit and fight through it and say, you know what? I'm coming to church today. I've had to do it behind the drums before, because that's my worship time. I've came in and I'm like, God, it's been a tough week. I haven't heard you. You're not moving. I'm in a holding pattern. This is awful. I'm just going to do what I do to get through. And then it's one of those things, you may not feel conviction from God, but you have to start telling yourself on your own, hey, that's not right. That's not the attitude I'm supposed to have. That's not the way God wants me to be. God may not be talking to me, but I know what the word says. I know what he's told me to do. I know that I'm here on this earth to worship him, and we have to enter a new level. And it's so hard to enter a new level of worship when our inside, we're fighting with our mind, we're fighting with all these challenges of life, and to come in and say, I'm giving it my all, is hard. It's very hard. That's why I encouraged us Sunday to step out of our norm. If you don't clap, clap. If you don't sing, sing. If you don't lift your hands, lift your hands. Because if you do it, a lot of times you'll do it out of just a natural thing. Hey, Tyler said, lift our hands in worship. You'll do it. You won't feel like anything's happening. And then next thing you know, God's moving on you. That's when you start to see the tears fall down. And you're like, wow, okay, I just moved out of my comfortability point. I've seen people in here, I don't know, Dusty Ray's not here to defend himself, but I've seen him dance like you wouldn't believe. And that's out of his character. Jessica, when she first started coming to Five Stone, she was like, oh, I'm a Baptist girl. This isn't right. And she began to push through, and we had talked about it, and she's like, well, I'm not feeling like God's saying that this is the way I'm supposed to worship. Like, I don't know what to do. And God began to move on her, and I remember one Sunday she took off running, and she was like, I don't know what just happened. And it's through that obedience in that time that even though we're not seeing, we're not feeling, God's still moving. And we have to get, it's the biggest thing from all of this tonight is to get through our mind. And it's easier said than done, because our mind's the biggest factor in our life all the time, all the time. So this last point is something that God gave me today, because I had most of this all worked out and unpacked, and God was like, there's something else that I want you to do. I was like, okay, God, what's that? He said, keep listening. Keep listening. So I was like, okay, God, what do you even mean by that? Like, you said, hey, Paul went through this thorn in his flesh and you pulled away from him. How am I supposed to keep listening? How am I supposed to keep listening when you're not talking? And I was like, God, you're real funny. You're real funny to do this to me. Because it's one of those things that I believe God has humor. I believe he does. Because he's seen us in these times where we're like, God, I can't believe you're not talking to me. And that's the thing. We get to these points in our life, in the quiet place. We're pushing through, we're humbling ourselves, we're worshiping, we're reading the Bible, we're digging deeper, we're trying to go to a new level, we're not hearing anything, and then God's like, hey, keep listening to me. You're like, okay, so I'm listening to the silence. There's something to be learned in the silence. There's something to be taken away from that silence. Because when we become so used to hearing, it's just another word. It's just another word from God. Oh, hey, he told me this. I had a time in my life where God was giving me visions and dreams and all these awesome things. I was like, this is great. This is what life should be like. And then I hit my first quiet season, and I thought I was dead. I really did, because I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know what was happening, because I was so used to just being there and not having to listen. God would just speak. I could just say, hey, God, will you show me something? Give me a vision so I know that you're still pouring out on me. We've all been there. And you don't have to listen. You can just coast through. So to develop your ears in a quiet place often creates more of a sensitivity. You can do two things in that moment. If you're not hearing anything, you can go deaf. Or a new heightened sensitivity can happen in your ears. And that's what happens so much. And that's why we see so many Christians backslide. Because they get caught in this area and they go deaf. Because they say, hey, God, I'm not hearing from you. I'm not focused on listening for you anymore. So this is what I'm doing. I'm going to spiral back down to where I was. Because where I was a whole lot easier than sitting here in a quiet place. I don't know if you gathered that. Like, that's Holy Ghost. That's not me. You go deaf or heightened sense of hearing. Now, I don't know about you, but I do not want to go deaf. We're not in a day and age where we can afford to go deaf. We have to have a heightened sense. Because a lot of times the Word says God comes with a whisper. He'll come with a little thing. He'll come with something small. And if we're not ready to hear it, then we'll miss it. If we haven't been doing our due diligence of pushing and digging deeper spiritually, digging deeper in our worship, digging deeper in our prayer and our praise, we're going to miss it. Absolutely going to miss it. So I feel like tonight, I do want to pray over all of us. If you want to come to the altars and pray, that's fine. But like I said, this isn't something where you can have hands laid on and the thorns gone. That's not what this is about. Tonight's more of a night if you need prayer because you need a perseverance.
We have Five Stones Church thanks you for listening to this message from Pastor Ryan Smith. For more information, events, and the latest news, consider connecting with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Together, we can awaken a generation.